Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
Well, we are in continuing our series on family and relationships called Our Home and Our Nest. And my sermon here today fits really well with the sermon that Pastor Claude preached 2 weeks ago. You probably don't remember that sermon, and that's fair. You know, we often forget what we had for breakfast the day before, right? So I don't expect you to remember everything he said, but if you forget, I encourage you to listen to that sermon again. It was 2 weeks ago, and he talked about what happens in a relationship where our needs are not getting met, and how do we respond? But I want to bring up one quote from his message that I really loved. And it's this: the truth is there's no perfect marriage. The goal is a God-centered marriage where two imperfect people keep turning to God and keep turning to each other. And this is what we are striving for in our, you know, especially in a marriage relationship, and really in all of our relationships. It's to turn to God, it's to turn to each other. The reality is that we were made for relationships with other human beings, right? Yes, that is true. And there's nourishment we get from relationships with each other. Even, you know, if you look at the first time the Bible says it's not good, it's when Adam was alone. And actually, he had a bunch of fuzzy friends around him. Like, he could have befriended a dog. And how many of you like dogs? Like, they're good companions. Honestly, I love my dog. I pet him, he's fun. Adam had any pet he wanted. He had access to God. Still, something about that was not good. Until God made Eve, right? And this is where we just see the need for human interaction. There's a healthy nourishment that we get in our relationships with each other. But also, how many of you would agree that men are not meant to live without God either? Right? Sure, we can have relationships with each other, but there is nourishment from God that only He can give. And I'll call it maybe God food. And if you look at the deepest needs of our heart, we could probably categorize these in different ways. This is Jimmy Evans. This is what he calls the deepest needs that we have. He highlights four. And often when people talk about the deepest needs, you could put other ones there, but these are some of them: acceptance and love, identity, who really am I, security, and purpose. And yes, your family can help with some of these. They can give you some sense of purpose, some sense of security. Yes, a place of love as well. But if I really want these on the deepest level, they've got to be experienced by the love of God, by the acceptance of God, by my identity of who He made me to be. If I don't have a greater identity, then why am I really here? What's my purpose? And I want to speak, first of all, before I get into talking about a marriage relationship, especially I want to talk about those who are not in a marriage relationship. My first advice to you is find these in God. Let God nourish you. Let God meet the deepest needs of your heart. Because I've seen it so many times where when we go into relationships with these lacking, then we end up really making the other person that we're in relationship with God. And how many of you that are married would agree that your spouse is a bad God? That's not their job. They shouldn't be God. Right? And there's no way that your spouse can love you in the deepest way possible, give you an identity and purpose and security. They're a finite, fallible being, right? And so when we look at getting into a marriage relationship, first of all, turn to God. That's why I love that quote. The first part was, turn to God. Let Him fill you. Let Him feed you with that God food. Because I think so many times we have this thought of, I won't be happy until, right? When I just get married, then the deepest parts of my heart will be fulfilled, right? And I'm not saying it's bad to have that desire to get married. But if you expect that marriage, you'll step into marriage and it's like, this is when my heart will truly come alive. This is when I'll be fulfilled. The Bible doesn't teach marriage like that. The Bible doesn't say that if you're single, you're confined to live unfulfilled until you're in a marriage relationship and then life starts. That's not what it teaches, right? And so my encouragement to you, I mean, even married or single, is this: delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. That is my encouragement to you. Again, married or single, delight yourself in the Lord. That is your job. And what is God gonna do? He's gonna give you the desires of your heart. Often we make this mistake. We look for to fulfill the desires of our heart when God is really the ultimate desire of our heart. And yes, again, we need each other and we need relationships, but unless that God-sized hole isn't filled inside, I'm gonna fill it with someone else, and that's not healthy. So if you're single, again, turn to God. Then you won't need someone else to be God in your life, or you won't make them God. And then also, when you turn to God, He is gonna love you, and He's gonna give you grace to flow in and through the relationships that you have. So the love of God is actually so evident in your relationships because you've been turning to Him, allowing Him to shape your heart, allowing Him to love you, and then as He first loves you, we love others. Right? So that's my first advice. If you're single, even dating here today, turn to God. My second piece of advice is build deep friendships. Build deep friendships. Again, like I mentioned, the Bible does not say your life is meant to be unfulfilled until you're married. That's not what it teaches. Even Paul says, there's some advantages to not getting married. You can think you can serve God a little bit more. But also, marriage is good, right? So we have this choice. We have this freedom sometimes to choose. And yes, it's really hard when you have that desire to get married, but you're not finding the right person. And this is where, please keep coming to this series on family and relationships. In 2 weeks, Brian's gonna preach on singleness and how to do that well, right? Because that is a real thing. But my encouragement to you is build deep friendships. This is where you're gonna find satisfaction in just being friends with other people. And all marriage really is the ultimate friendship. That's marriage. You wanna have a good marriage, make a really, really good friend. And I think it's wise that God made it so that we're not meant to be friends with benefits. We're meant to be friends and then get married, and then we get to be friends with benefits. But it was so neat to realize that when I got married, it's like, I get a sleepover with my best friend the rest of my life? This is pretty cool. But so often we have that temptation. If, you know, we jump to putting physicality first, and that doesn't sustain a marriage, right? I've never heard one person say, hey, you wanna meet a spouse? I've heard the show called The Bachelor. Why don't you go and... You get engaged fast there, you can get married, maybe it can work out for you. No, it won't work out for you. It's gonna crash and burn really fast. Because that's not how we're meant to sustain a marriage relationship. It starts with a spiritual foundation and then an emotional and relational foundation, and then the physical comes later. So again, that's my advice to you, single people. I'll bring it back to a marriage relationship. I've entitled today, Pick Up the Serving Utensil. And this is where, as we turn to God and we're nourished, we then need to turn to each other, and we want to try to serve each other. So before I keep going, I need one brave married couple to join me on stage. Please help me out. Someone jump up. Someone grab their spouse and take them up here. Don't make me tell anyone. Still no one here? Oh boy. Yes! Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much. Can I hold your kid? Yes. Can I hold them? You'll need. I'll grab your serving spoon. We'll do a little trade here. Hey, buddy. Perfect. So I'm gonna get you some marshmallows here for you. There we go. And my only rule that I'm gonna have for you guys is when you're holding the spoon, you have to have one hand on the handle at all times. So you can't go like this. Okay. Yep. So try to grab those marshmallows and eat them. Hey, buddy. Oh, your dad's pretty good. So try to see if there's a, look at your parents are smart. Give them a hand. If you want to eat the rest, you can, but okay, perfect. We'll trade back. Thank you. Awesome. Give him a hand, another hand. I was brave. I do clean the spoons between services, just so you know. I realized I'd have to do some dishes today. But yeah, they figured it out really fast. And I think this is one way where... one way how relationships work, when we have a focus on, I'll make sure not to eat off this, but when we have a focus on trying to feed each other, we end up sometimes, I think, being frustrated and unnourished. But as we look to serve the other person, this is how God designed us to live. How many of you have tried to just live for yourself, serve yourself, and you realize, wow, something does not work here? I'm unsatisfied. I'm going against the way that we were designed. We were designed to serve God. And one of the ways we serve and love God is by serving and loving others. So I love how this is highlighted in Philippians 2. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. This is such a challenging verse, but it's so important. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. This is where I'm elevating me above everything else. I am the goal. Loving me and serving me is the goal. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value the others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and it talks about him being obedient to death on a cross. What an amazing example we have for our relationships. And we are instructed to have that same mindset. Like, it blew the disciples' minds that Jesus came not, you know, just with a scepter to say, you serve me, here's the serving spoon, serve me. Jesus came and he served. And it brought them into, like, even right at the end, as he was washing their feet, the disciples were saying, like, this isn't right. But Jesus says, no, this is the way that you're going to live and serve and handle relationships. It's to get low and to serve each other. And if you look at James 3:16, it really almost shows the opposite of when we do have selfish ambition in our relationships. It says this, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. How many of you would say, ouch? That's a tough situation. You don't want a household of disorder and every evil practice. That's not gonna be a nice nest to come home to. But where you have selfish ambition, where you are put at the first, I'm number one, this is what happens. Then it goes on to say, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. And then peace-loving, it values peace. It's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You just see that it goes from disorder to order and peace. And then it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You know, James is instructing that there's disorder because of your selfish ambition. And where you have selfish ambition, where you're truly number one, it's serve me, serve me. It's all about I'm the end goal and my happiness is the end goal. It creates this level of chaos, of disorder. You lose peace. I love what Paul said to the church in Corinth as he was instructing the whole congregation because there was a lack of peace. They were kind of promoting themselves and the way that they were using their spiritual gifts. And this is what Paul says, and near the end of the letter, he says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Hallelujah, right? God wants to bring peace and order to our relationships as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. So again, this I'm talking about in the context of a marriage relationship. It really works in a church relationship and in all of these different settings that we need to rid ourselves of selfish ambitions and look to love and serve. This is why 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is parked right in there, right in his instruction about spiritual gifts. Paul is saying, hey, you guys need love. What's causing disorder and ruckus and all of you are getting on stage speaking in tongues, no one's interpreting because you're just trying to promote yourself. You need love. Love isn't self-seeking. It's not proud. It's not boastful. It keeps no record of wrongs. This is what you need. And I want to ask you this morning, what about your congregation or your family, your nest, your house? Is there disorder? Is there a lack of unity? Or is there peace? Is what causing fights among you based on the desires that are within you, right? And when we look at relationships, what often, you know, people often say it's money that drives marriages apart or issues like, you know, things like sex. These are really powerful things. But ultimately, it's selfishness at the end of the day. Paul writes in the same letter to the people of Corinth, he says this, the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife doesn't have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband doesn't have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. I've even heard selfishness being applied to this passage. People taking, ripping all of the love out of this passage and saying, hey, dear, you know what this says? Let's read it. I have authority over your body. Okay, pretty interesting. And then the other says, hey, dear, you know what this also says? I have authority over your body, so get out of here. Right? And when you remove love, when it becomes a you feed me, here's your serving spoon, no, here's your serving spoon, all of a sudden you have disorder, you have evil, you have all of this chaos, you have this lack of peace. But when you read this and you say, oh, I want to yield, I want to pick up my serving spoon, and how can I serve you best? And the other says, hey, how can I serve you best? This is when relationships work. Because the reality is, God made male and female, right? And how many of you would agree they're different? We have differences. And there's you also marry someone who is unique and different in their own regard as well. And often I hear this, that what the male often values is the male wants a physical connection, which will then lead to being more emotionally connected. But I've heard often it's the opposite for the women. The women value emotional connection, which then lends toward wanting more of a physical connection. And where we have these differences, do you see how selfishness, these differences become things of war? Hey, I'm starving, feed me. No, I'm starving, feed me. You feed me first and I'll feed you. pick up the serving spoon, feed the other person. This is about a win-win situation. In our differences, when we have this selfless attitude of love and service, in our differences, they actually end up complementing each other. You know, in me and Valerie's emotional and relational, the way that we like to connect, I like having fun. You know, let's go on a date, let's have some fun, let's play. For Valerie, she's really good and loves to talk and communicate and talk about deeper things and talk about feelings. It's like, okay, I'd rather have fun. And she's probably like, well, okay, I'd rather talk. And then I say, well, we talk all the time. But she's looking for open and vulnerable communication. And I've realized as I say, okay, I'm gonna learn to do this and I'm gonna serve you in this way, I realize that having open and vulnerable conversation is healthy and important for me, right? Instead of having my emotions just swirling inside, stuffing them down, and then blowing up on someone a few days later and saying, why did I do that? Actually talking what's going inside with the partner that God gave me is a beautiful and nourishing thing for me. And as we have fun together, I mean, Valerie loves fun, so we're both nourishing each other, and our differences end up then complementing us and bringing us together, and we have this attitude of loving and serving the other person, and we both end up getting nourished. So that's my encouragement to you. Pick up your serving spoon. Next, I want to talk about one profound lesson that I've learned after 10 years of marriage is that you can't put the interests of the other person first without knowing the interests of the other person, right? That's really profound. But if I actually want to say, okay, Valerie, I want to serve you, I need to figure out how she works and how she likes to be served. What are some of the needs that she has? Again, if she is a different person, which she is, then she has different ways that she feels loved and valued and respected and all of these things. And in the beginning of my relationship, I think often what I did was I loved her like one of the guys, right? I told that story of before I bought her flowers, I bought her bacon. Because that just makes sense to me. Flowers you watch die, bacon you get to eat, and it lives in you forever. So bacon's better than flowers. To me. But my goal isn't to love a copy of me, it's to love a different person. My goal is to love her, so I need to learn. And this is where I encourage you, in your differences, help each other to learn. Help each other. Sometimes we look at the other person and we're a little lost, right? Girls look at guys, I don't understand you. Guys look at his wife, I don't understand you. It's like you're looking at a math formula, saying, teacher, just help. This is foreign to me. Help each other. Take each other in on how you tick and what you're like. And again, this is where we get to never end getting to know each other. I'm not singling anyone out this morning, but sometimes I do premarital, and in premarital, we have a question that says, I know my partner completely. And often young couples answer, strongly agree. I understand you completely. And it's really cute, and I love it, but I have to burst their bubble and just say, nah, nah, you really don't. First of all, you don't even know yourself completely. And second of all, you don't know them completely, but this is where you have the joy in coming to learn, how do I serve the other person well? What does it look like to serve them in the unique way that God made them? And again, I just encourage you, this is where you can help each other. This is where, you know, my wife is good at this. If she, at one point, I was not doing many romantic gestures anymore. And I think she just somehow very lovingly just said, hey, I would appreciate that. And she's not demanding. She's not calling me a failure. She's just expressing a need. And again, men, if that's the request, like they're not expecting Hallmark rom-com romance, right? Where you have to set up a scene where it starts raining and you kiss in the rain. Like, I remember one of the things that I did was I just got some sticky notes and Sharpies and I wrote, you are my jam, and I stuck it on the jam. And I just stuck little sticky notes throughout the house. And she was like, thanks, I appreciate that so much. It's like, okay, that was fairly easy, right? But again, as you're married to a different person, begin to learn from each other, encourage each other in how to serve the other person, not in a way where it's like you're failing, but in a way of like, hey, these are some of the needs I have. And then when the other person, again, if they're trying to be romantic, just say, good job. And that is usually all that they, you know, people want. I feel seen. I feel loved, right? So let's just try to serve each other and get to know our differences. So to recap, I have one more point this morning, but I just want to recap the points that we've been talking about. God made us to help fulfill each other's needs. We have to turn to God to receive nourishment from Him, but also turn to each other and serve each other. Point two, in a marriage, we need to serve each other, and we are both nourished. Point three is God made us different, so let's learn how to serve each other. Point four is really simple. Establish healthy habits and rhythms that are going to end up nourishing both of you really well. I love the advice that Jesus gave to his bride in Ephesus, the church. He commended them in Revelation 2. He said that the church in Ephesus has persevered, had endured hardships, and had not grown weary. So this was a faithful spouse. But at the same time, he says this, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. I love that Jesus is wanting that intimate connection with us. I think that's so cool. He doesn't just want faithfulness. You're following the commandments. You're not giving in to false teaching. That's good, but I want this love relationship. And this is what he says as instruction to the church. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. Honestly, I think this is so simple, but if you think of the beginning of your relationship when you got married, you had this excitement and it probably made you quite intentional, right? You didn't have kids in the picture, so you were probably regularly scheduling dates. When you got to bed together, you were like, this is great, let's cuddle. And then all of a sudden, as you let time go by, some of these habits start slipping. Even when it comes to praying together in Valerie and I's relationship, often I realize there are seasons where we lose that. And again, this is just where we have to go back sometimes to some of the things that we did at first. Arthur Brooks, who is a Christian social scientist, he says there's four ways to save every marriage. That's a bold claim, but it's his claim. And this is what he says. The first one is to pray together. Wow, a way to save your marriage. Pray together. The second one is to have fun. Have some fun together. Get out and have some fun. The third one is eye contact. He says this is more important for women because they have three times more oxytocin, which helps bind them to their children. But eye contact, more eye contact. When you're talking, instead of looking at your phone, look at each other. And number four, I like it, always be touching, right? Some of the things that we did early in our marriage where you're like, I always want to kiss you before you leave the house. I always want to hold your hand. And then slowly you can, if you're not intentional, you forget some of those simple things that you did at first. So this is my challenge. As I close, my challenge to married couples here today, the first thing is have a conversation. look into each other's eyes, start with 5 minutes of eye contact. That's what Arthur Brooks prescribed. But that's like really long. Maybe aim for 30 seconds, maybe. That seems long enough. First of all, talk about what do we need to go back to doing? What are the things we did at first that now we've drifted from and we just have to start doing again? Maybe it's as simple as holding hands. The second thing is, what is something that you can kindly ask the other person to pick up their serving utensil and say, hey, this is a way that you can serve me. And again, be really nice. Don't be accusatory. Don't be demanding. Just say, hey, if you want to learn to serve me better, this is one way that you can learn to serve me, something that I would appreciate more of. And the third and maybe most important is I want to challenge you to pray together. Pray together. Can you regularly just go before God and say, God, there's no perfect marriage and we're two imperfect people. So we're turning to you. We're turning to you to receive your love. We're turning to you to look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who modeled what it looked like to live in a healthy relationship, of picking up our serving utensil and serving the other person. And I believe as we turn to God together, he's gonna give us that love to turn to each other and serve. Amen? Awesome, let's stand and quickly pray.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.